Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Chamber Music Tulsa will embark on its most ambitious music program in its history when it hosts the popular Moreau String Quartet as they present all 16 of Ludwig von Beethoven's string quartets in 6 concerts over 9 days. The Beethoven Winter Festival, as it's called, is set to take place next month, February 17th through the 26th, at the Tulsa Performing Arts Center's Westby Pavilion. As the quartet presents Beethoven's works in chronological order, beginning with number 1 and continuing through the late quartets on a final Sunday afternoon concert 9 days later. Along with the concerts, Chamber Music Tulsa is partnering with numerous other groups to present films, book discussions, lectures, and panel discussions, along with outreach performances by the Aeolus Quartet in the weeks leading up to the concerts. That schedule gets underway in earnest this coming Monday with a book discussion of Beethoven for a Later Age, written by Edward Dusenberry, who is the principal violinist of the Tkach Quartet. That book discussion takes place at Harwelden Monday evening. Joining me is Bruce Sorrell, the Executive Director of Chamber Music Tulsa, to talk about the events of the Beethoven Winter Festival and the decision to host this major music event here in the city. Bruce Sorrell, welcome back to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Well, I'm very happy to be here. Thank you.
This is a very busy time for Chamber Music Tulsa because you guys have done something I don't think the organization, through its various incarnations, through its history, has ever tried to attempt, and that is this amazing festival devoted to the music, the quartet music of Beethoven with a Moreau Quartet, where they perform all 16 string quartets. How did this idea come about?
Well, it's interesting. When I first moved here in 2012, I asked if we had any interest in doing that. I don't even know why I asked, to be honest, because I wasn't that familiar with how a cycle would work. But I certainly knew it would was out there. And basically, at that point, the organization was sort of like, no, we don't have an interest in doing that. That's not in our sort of realm of what we want to do right now. So here we are 5 years later in this amazing project. And it got rebooted, I would say, 2 years ago when the Moreau actually approached us and said, you know, we think the Tulsa audience would be ready for a Beethoven cycle, and we'd love to do that for you. And it sparked us into conversations that inevitably every conversation ended with yes, yes, yes. And I think it's a mark of how the organization has found its confidence. You know, we're 60 years old. We were founded around the same time as the ballet. But it's really wonderful to work for an organization where that kind of thing happens. And so for me, it's a really exciting time for us, and it's been a real stretch, just not only for the board but for the staff, to keep all of these activities up and going. And we planned a lot. I mean, it wasn't just the concerts; it's all the extra outreach that's going to happen in the community.
So how often does this take place in the classical music world? Now, you know, I think of other cycles, the Ring cycle with the Wagner operas is something, and that's usually a major event when it occurs, especially outside of maybe Seattle or someplace like that.
Well, exactly. I mean, the last place Moreau did the complete cycle was in Tokyo, and they had done it also at the Orcas Island Music Festival. So it's something that you would see happen at festivals or major market areas, or someplace where they've established and they will play through all the Beethoven during the course of the year. So one of the first questions that we had to answer is like, okay, if we're going to mount this and do all 16 quartets, was do we do it over how many concerts? Because Moreau actually likes to do over 5, and that means that the first concert is 6 different string quartets. And we kind of were like, I'm not sure we want to sit that through that ourselves, let alone expect the audience to. And so we divided it into 6 concerts so that it was more manageable. But then do we want to have a weekend of 3 concerts in the fall and a weekend of 3 concerts in the spring? Do we want to do – I mean, there was all kinds of different stuff. And the program committee, as we were discussing this, decided that what we would like individually, as individuals sitting on the committee, was to experience the quartets in a concentrated manner so that we really felt the journey of what was happening in these amazing, amazing works. So as you say, it is something that is done, but it's not done frequently because of the intensity of the work, not only for the quartet, but for the presenter as well. So that decision got made that we wanted to try to figure out how to be able to experience it so that we didn't lose sort of like the memory of the intent, the journey, the flow of how the cycle could unfold.
Now, for those who are only passingly acquainted with the Beethoven quartets, tell us about that journey.
Well,
I mean, because really, Beethoven at the beginning is almost Mozartian.
Yeah, Haydn and Mozart and all of that.
And then by the end, he's
left us. He's left us a legacy that nobody has touched yet, I think, in many ways, a spiritual, emotional, musical legacy from Beethoven that we still grapple with. We still find them very fresh. We find them challenging. We find them moving. And we'll have to come back around to the actual question, but while I think about it, one of the things that I find happens with the late quartets, you'll hear them referred to as the late quartets, the final five or six in Beethoven's life, and that was the last thing he wrote, was a string quartet. I find that writers and speakers tend to move into hyperbole because all of a sudden the music is beyond the words and there is no way to express what happens. And we get this sort of hyper language because they don't know what else to say. And it's really funny. And hopefully the community will come together and sort of experience Beethoven at one point or the other at one of the outreaches or come to a concert. And notice that as we talk about the late quartets. But back to the journey here. He was 30 years old when he wrote his first six quartets, and he was paying homage to his great forebears, Mozart and Haydn particularly, in the quartet world. But yet in them, there are still signs, there are hints of what's to come. So that's the first six, referred to as the early quartets. Then the middle period, Beethoven, I mean, at this point, he already knows he's going deaf. He has been inspired by Napoleon and then deeply disappointed by Napoleon after he declared himself emperor. But there's this heroic style that we associate with the Eroica Symphony, and the Fifth Symphony with its famous opening and all of that. So there's this grand gesture. And so the middle quartets out of the middle period, there are five of those, and they tend to be more that direction as well. And then we end up at the very end of his life. He'd sort of stopped writing very much. And then all of a sudden there's this burst of activity, which includes, of course, the Ninth Symphony, the great Ode to Joy choral ending, and these late quartets, which sort of leave the realm of expression as we have known it in music and begin to sort of be deeply personal, highly sort of spiritual, universal kinds of statements that, here again, they're hard to describe. That's why I think it's important for us to hear them. So across that, more often than not, in a Beethoven cycle, people will construct concerts that have like an early quartet, a middle quartet, and a late quartet. It's very typical, and there's like a lot of discussion out there about how to actually plan those, you know, various concerts. Moreau likes to do them in the order in which they were composed, and convinced us that was what we would like to do at this journey. What happens then is that you experience Beethoven's life journey. It's funny, you'll see here, I have difficulty talking about this sometimes because I find it so emotionally powerful. And I have to be careful when I'm in public sort of announcing about various things or whatever. It's like, okay, so I can't go there because I'm going to lose it. So what we will experience, though, is that journey of Beethoven and his sort of young confidence through that sort of the power of the middle journey and realizing he's going deaf. And then what he gifts the world from a world of complete deafness. It's really quite stunning and remarkable. And amongst those great creations in all of Western art that stand with the plays of Shakespeare and Michelangelo, the Greek tragedies. It's that important.
Yeah. Now, and then the Moreau Quartet, as you mentioned, they say they like to do them in chronological order. I'm sure you've had conversations with them about why it's important to do it that way. What do they think about? I mean, is it that sort of sense that, you know, you're just diving in and you're diving deeper and deeper and deeper until you've sort of reached a new world?
Yes, that's very much how they expressed it to us. And of course, the people on our my board and on the committees that make a lot of the decisions and recommendations that we move forward on have a degree of sophistication because they've been around it enough to kind of understand immediately what they were proposing to us. So our job is to take it to the community to say, this is why we're doing this, and because we feel that the experience of the journey of Beethoven's life mirrors what happens and why they become so important. Instead of just having sort of I don't want to say hodgepodge concert, but early, middle, late gives you a lot of variety on a concert.
That's right. It gives you sort of a one concert experience.
Exactly. And that's what you would expect to hear more on a one concert experience. And if you weren't hearing all of the quartets at once. So we bought into that. And I find that to be one of the really key elements about this particular presentation, and especially since we're starting on a Friday night and going Friday night, Saturday night, Tuesday night, Thursday night, Saturday night, Sunday late afternoon over a period of 10 days, we will really experience this as Beethoven sort of wrote them. So mm-hmm. in that order.
Now, I would imagine you have some people who are going to be at every concert, but
yes.
It's not necessary, is it?
No, it certainly is not.
I mean, if you want to get a great sampling, you go an early night,
yep.
you go a middle night, and a late night.
On a late night. That's a great thing to do.
Or one or two.
Or come when you can. We've ended up structuring it that way so that you could get all six. You could pick three if you'd like, or just buy an individual concert. Because I think that the energy of what's going to be happening will be so palpable that I think that if you get to one concert, you will probably try to figure out if you can get to another one. because I really do believe in the collected energy of what is going to happen by having it happen so close together and in the intimate space of the Westby Pavilion.
Now, that was an interesting choice. Why have it at the Westby Pavilion?
Because Moreau has played in Tulsa on numerous occasions and also has been to OK Mozart frequently, and they're well known here in the community. We spoke specifically with them and said, you know, we've been thinking about spaces and what space do you particularly like when you've been playing here? And we find that the Westby Pavilion, which of course wasn't designed to be a performance space, really. I mean, it's really a reception space, but we do our Saturday night concerts there on a regular basis and has a really wonderful intimacy and a very live presence to the sound. It works acoustically. When we're downstairs in the Williams Theater at the PAC, which seats around 400 people, it doesn't have quite the same visceral impact that the Westby does. You really feel that you're present with the musicians, I think, in a different way. So normally on Saturday nights, it's a sort of concert dinner kind of combination. So we have tables, but we're setting it up lecture style for this particular concert series. So it'll be around 240 seats.
But will you have that sort of informality of a sort of one of your reception sort of concerts?
Well, we hope so. I mean, it's still general admission. It'll still have the lecture. Even though it'll be lecture style seating, but next door in the La Fortune, the Black Box Studio that's mm-hmm. right next door to it, we will be having every night either coffee or. On the first night, there's like opening a dessert champagne immediately following. Mm-hmm. On the weeknights, the Tuesday and Thursday, because we figured that might be a harder point for people to get to midweek, we're going to have light hors d'oeuvres and wine available, you know, before the concert so that people, if they can come from, just have to come straight from work or whatever, can get in and have a little food before they mm-hmm. begin to experience it. So I hopefully it will continue to have that conviviality of what we normally do on Saturday night.
How important is it to have the Moreau Quartet do this? Because the Moreau, as you mentioned, has been at OK Mozart. They've been in Tulsa. They've come through the area numerous times and around the area as a quartet in residence at the University of Texas. They perform in this part of the country quite a bit.
For us, you're absolutely correct. There are lots of quartets out there that could do a Beethoven cycle for us in Tulsa. I think because of the connection with Tulsa with our series, with OK Mozart, they become a more logical choice because of that. Also, in my experience, when we hear the Moreau Quartet play, they bring such energy and such passion and commitment to their playing. And it's not that all quartets don't, but they really give you an experience. It's always an experience to hear them play. And so that familiarity plus that excitement made them a logical choice for us. And we sort of have slowly developed a relationship with them personally as well. They're really wonderful individuals, and that shows in their playing and in their quartet, the commitment they have to quartet ideal, which is really an intense life, you know, living closely with four people that you're not actually family. I mean, you're kind of a constructed family at this point, and making your life and your living with that. So there, for us, they seemed a really logical choice. And so when they approached us about the idea, it was not difficult for us to go, yes, this is the quartet that we would love to hear. Because another idea is, in constructing a Beethoven quartet cycle, is to have different quartets play for you, because then you get different approaches, because, you know, not everybody's playing is the same, and not everybody has a slightly different take on the way they approach this music. We decided that in order to sort of concentrate on the quartets themselves and hearing the string quartet, the music as Beethoven wrote it, it would be more useful to have one quartet's interpretation across than to be distracted by different quartets' different interpretations. A great example of it is the famous Opus 131 quartet of Beethoven, which is a 45-minute quartet nonstop. And it's an intense piece for any string quartet. It's a bellwether piece. And it's also that for audiences. And so 4 years ago, 3 years ago, we had the Danish String Quartet in, and they played the Opus 131. Next year, we're having the Takács Quartet back, and they're playing Opus 131 for us. And they will be entirely different, and the Moroz approach will be different as well. And it's a lot of fun to hear those different approaches, but that wasn't our goal this time around.
Yeah, so just a sense of getting a sense of this amazing accomplishment. It's like looking at some sort of architectural monument in a way with these 16 quartets.
Right. And not comparing performances, but thinking about the whole cycle together. Yeah.
My guest today is Bruce Sorrell, the Executive Director of Chamber Music Tulsa. The Beethoven Winter Festival is a project of Chamber Music Tulsa, which will take place February 17th through the 26th with the Moreau Quartet, as they perform all 16 quartets of Beethoven in chronological order over the course of 6 concerts during that 9-day period. And Bruce joins me today to talk about that, which sales have been going on, and you've had a good reaction so far, but there are still plenty of seats for all the performances.
There are still seats, but there are certain concerts which are going to probably sell out more quickly than others. Mm-hmm. So I do encourage you, if you've got specific concert you want to go to be sure and go ahead and get tickets ordered. We're very excited because we do think it will sell out.
You mentioned the Opus 131 quartet, which is 45 minutes straight through without a break. As a musician and conductor yourself, what is that like for the members of the Moreau to do these 6 concerts, completely different repertoire, each concert over the course of 9 nights?
It's an intense journey for them, that is for certain. And one of the things that we always do with our visiting ensembles is have them do outreach in the community. And we knew going in, we hardly even had a conversation with them about that, just kind of realizing that that would have to be very limited for them, just because of the amount of energy and rest time between and rehearsal that they needed during the scope of that time. They will be here the entire 9 days. I mean, they could get back to Austin and teach or whatever, but they're staying here so that they can stay focused on it. They're going to do like one master class, I think, and mm-hmm. An event for patrons and that kind of thing. But by and large, we didn't do very much outreach. So the next question we had was, how can we manage to involve more of the community than those who will be actually choose to come to the concerts? And so we solved that by engaging the Aeolus Quartet to come in the first week of February to do outreach for us around the Beethoven quartets. And so there'll be a number of public events that'll be free. Like, for instance, they're going to be playing at the Hardesty Arts Center on first Friday in February. Mm-hmm. So you'll be able to sort of like come through, and at various points they'll be playing some Beethoven. There will be a lecture on Thursday night that John Largesse, who's the violist with the Moreau Quartet,
And we'll have live examples. I mean, I think this is one of the most exciting things as far as anybody who is interested in learning more about the quartets, to have a lecture where you've actually got a live band sitting there to play the examples. So on Thursday night of that week, they're also then going to be playing at like the Tulsa Girls Arts School and Tulsa School of Arts for Arts and Sciences. They're going to Catholic Charities. We've got a whole list of places they're going during the week. And that's our kind of gift to the city in ways for people that perhaps wouldn't have the opportunity to be touched by this incredible music.
And a lot of the places you're talking about, you might not sell maybe couple tickets.
Right.
I mean, it's not about promotion. It's really about really spreading the word about this.
Exactly. I mean, Tulsa Boys Home. I mean, yeah. So those kinds of places. And so it's a really great way. I mean, they will be doing a certain number of things that will sort of add to the PR benefit of them being around. But the real goal is to gift the community with this incredible music. And
now when you were putting this together, the title of the project is not the Beethoven String Quartet Cycle, it's the Beethoven Winter Festival. And actually, you've been having events from in the fall. There were events leading up to this, like film showings and things like that at the Circle Cinema. And I think it's getting going in earnest this month with a book discussion here coming up early next week. And a lecture the following week. And I assume there are things like happening nearly every week up until the February 17th, the first concert day.
Correct. We tried to do something because the festival opens on February 17th. And because Beethoven's sort of acknowledged birth date is December 17, there's a story behind that, and we don't actually know when his birthday is. So,
right.
Anyway, we decided, I had suggested, and then it actually kind of worked out, to do something on the 17th of every month leading up to kind of reinforce that February 17 was our opening date.
So you had a film showing of one of the, what is it,
Immortal Beloved, which I'd never seen. We did that at Circle on October 17th. We had a lecture at the Oklahoma Center for Humanities on November 17th and again on January 17th. There's another one coming up, a panel discussion with three scholars from Oklahoma State, two from Oklahoma State and one from the University of Tulsa, discussing Beethoven and his world with a slightly different view than just talking about music, a little bit more about the historical milieu that he was coming out of and what occupied Vienna was like. And I keep hoping that there will be some discussion, too, about, like, food security, because food is the theme for Oklahoma Center for Humanities this year. But the idea of Beethoven and his world is what's going on at that. I have the kind of board and committees, so it's like ideas will come up, and then all of a sudden we're doing them. So somebody threw out, wouldn't it be fun to do a book discussion, book club kind of thing? And it's like, and so then we thought, well, yeah, that'd be kind of fun. And so we contacted Magic City Books and BookSmart and thought, well, let's see what would be good. And then we came up with Ed Dusenberry's book, Beethoven for a Later Age. And Ed is the first violinist of the really renowned Takács Quartet. And it was a fairly recent book. It was published maybe a year and a half ago, about their experience playing Beethoven as a quartet. And so next Monday night at Harwelden, if you have a chance to grab and read the book, it's not a long book at all. We have a book club discussion. And then in March, kind of our culminating last of Beethoven event, he's actually going to come in and do an author visit to discuss him. So,
and then the Takács Quartet will be here.
We'll be back again next
year.
A year from April.
Yeah.
We'll be back. And so it's nice to have those connections out there in the world amongst the chamber music community, amongst some of the greatest artists in the world come here. So
when you look at something like doing six concerts over the course of 9 days and 16 pieces of music, now I would think that the Miro Quartet have a lot of those, nearly all of those, under their fingers at some point. But as far as getting to performance level, I mean, are you talking like hours and hours of performance to rehearsal to get ready for performance for each one of these concerts? Or
yeah, that's a really interesting question. And since I'm not the actual performer on this one, it's hard to kind of like know. Yes, of course, they have played this cycle several times already.
They're in the midst of recording.
They're in the midst of recording all of them, and I'm trying to think where they are. I think maybe they're working on the late quartets at the moment. I know that there was a point.
So these are the pieces that are probably they're most familiar with.
Well, in a lot of ways, very much so. So the question really becomes, what in the course of what's the final prep? How much? Right. How many hours is involved in that final sort of touch up or refresh or revisit? And with great chamber musicians, it becomes it's not jazz really because everything is written down, but one has the sense that there is a constant evolution of the way they're playing. And we were really struck by that with the Modigliani Quartet in November from France. And how there were times when it was like, wow, that just feels like a free fantasy. This music, you know, is all written out. But the way they captured the sort of like the freshness and spontaneity. And I think that's what all great musicians are striving for, is that it feels personal and present right then. And Moreau does a great job of that. So, it would be a curious thing if we have a chance to sort of ask them, sort of like, what is your final prep for going into concerts in a concert week like this? How do you manage that? One of the other interesting things that I've become aware of more with the touring musicians that come to Tulsa is how much they are learning to take care of themselves on a physical level and are working out. And when they get to cities, work out, and they don't just sit in their hotel rooms. And I think quartets like the Moreau are on the leading edge of teaching younger quartets not just about music, but what life on the road is like, what to expect as a professional musician, and how to take really good care of yourself so that you're up and ready for concerts. And I think that's a little different than maybe even 10 or 15 or 20 years ago as far as touring artists. It's like, you know,
the exercise was going to the bar after the concert.
That's right. You came in, you ate well, you ate rich, you had a drink afterwards and had a good time. And I think it's really smart. I think it makes a lot of sense. And I think they're as an important quartet, not only as performers, but as teachers, as you mentioned on the faculty at the University of Texas. They have been responsible for helping train the next generation of chamber musicians and important good things to do for yourself to make sure that you're healthy and happy and make the best music you can.
All right. Well, for information about the Beethoven Winter Festival on all the concerts, as well as all the outreach, which is also on your website, yep. It's chambermusictulsa.org.
Yes, absolutely. And we would love to have you join us for any of the free events or come to the concerts. It's going to be an absolute incredible thing for Tulsa.
And you can choose any single concert
right.
Or you can go to all of them.
That's right.
Or anything in between, right?
That's right.
Well, we hope a lot of people come out for this. It sounds like it's going to be a great event. What's been the reaction from the artistic community about this idea of doing this high-level concentration of concerts in a short amount of time?
You know, like I said, it's one of those things where, wow, it's a major market event, and it's going to be happening in Tulsa. And so the reaction really is, wow, this is fantastic.
Yeah. Well, hope a lot of people come out.
Yep,
Bruce,
thank you.
Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you very much, Rich.
Bruce Sorrell is the Executive Director of Chamber Music Tulsa, which will be presenting the Beethoven Winter Festival. 6 concerts in 9 days, February 17th through the 26th, featuring the Moreau Quartet, playing all 16 string quartets of Beethoven at the Tulsa Performing Arts Center. For more information about the Beethoven Winter Festival and the outreach that's going on with the festival, visit chambermusictulsa.org. Also, in the spirit of full disclosure, I should mention, I am a member of the board of Chamber Music Tulsa. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.